A reading from Isaiah 65. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who fails short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another habit. They shall not plant and another eat. For the days of a tree shall be the days of my people be. And my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. For they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food, shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
Two things to say before I begin my sermon. First of all, I take it as a real privilege to be in your pulpit today. And just because I say something from the pulpit does not mean that you need to agree with me. I appreciate your attention and your listening. The second thing is, I'm going to need some help this morning. The occasional amen or yes or preach would be greatly appreciated, if you agree. For virtually all of us, the presidential election results on Tuesday night came as a shock. And for many of us, it came as a disappointment. I think it's especially shocking for young adults who may have voted in their first election. To put that in perspective, an 18-year-old voter in this year's election was born in 1998. 1998. Some of us remember other election shockers or disappointments, but the only presidents these younger voters can remember are George W. Bush and Barack Obama. I know some of us can remember, say the Nixon administration. Or the Roosevelt administration. Those of us who have been around the block once or twice know that while the presidency is incredibly important, other things make a difference too. All is not lost. And if you don't believe me, take a look at the beautiful blue Colorado sky and take a deep breath. I've taken more than a few deep breaths this past week. And while we remember our veterans this weekend, we remember also that this congregation and its members have served in and endured 2 world wars. As well as wars in Korea and Vietnam and Iraq and Afghanistan. Remember, too, that our denomination has survived a revolution and a civil war. We will thrive in the coming years because we have a renewed sense of why we are here and why congregations like this one are needed. We will help our nation as a whole by being a prophetic voice, by being a beacon for justice, and yes, sometimes being a thorn in the flesh. You guys are much better than the 9 o'clock service.
Preach, brother.
Thank you. All right. Says one who was part of the civil rights struggle. Blessing. Today's lectionary text comes from the very last section of Isaiah. And you'll remember that it was written after a portion of the people of Judah had been taken captive and then exiled in Babylon. And they had returned to Jerusalem after several generations. A generation is a lot longer than 4 years, by the way. Isaiah's writing after the repatriation. And they return to a city that lays largely in ruins. The temple has been destroyed and has yet to be rebuilt. And the reality of reconstruction is beginning to sink in. It is literally a monumental task. But the elders have seen and known worse before. And God enables them to have hope with a beautiful vision of a glorious new creation in which the wolf and the lamb shall lie down and feed together instead of feeding one on the other. None of the faithful are going to rebuild alone. They know that they will be empowered by God to bring vision into reality. They have a cause. They have a reason for being. I wonder if some of our folks at Plymouth this week have felt like they were entering a period of exile. Not so much because the candidate that you may or may not have voted for did or did not win, but because of the threats in the campaign that were directed towards Muslims, toward Mexican immigrants, toward women, towards people with disabilities, towards people of color, towards LGBT folks, towards the integrity of God's creation. We will need to wait and see how much of that was campaign rhetoric and how much will actually be transformed into policy. None of us knows exactly what the future holds, but one thing I can tell you, the witness of this congregation and others like it will take on an even more important role in the life of our community and in our nation in the next 4 years.
Amen.
We'll have an opportunity to step in and step up. If the rights of any of us in the LGBT community are threatened, will Plymouth speak up?
Yes.
I know that we'll speak up. If promised budget cuts threaten those in our community with food insecurity, will our congregation step in and act?
Yes.
I know we will. If our government proposes to engage in mass deportations of undocumented aliens, do you think people at Plymouth will fold their hands politely, or do you think people at Plymouth will stand up? We will stand up. If our neighbors at the Islamic Center of Fort Collins face discrimination, do you think people from Plymouth will stand up with them and even in front of them? I know we will. As many of you know, I reached out to Shakir Muhammad, the acting imam, to let him know of our solidarity. And he wrote back a very touching message of thanks. "We will be well," he writes, "and all Americans will right this ship together. And good will still come to us all and to our nation." Isn't it a blessing to know that we are not alone as people of faith? Now, some of you may have seen people wearing a safety pin, and Jake talked about it in his children's sermon, which symbolizes that the person who's wearing it will stand in solidarity with someone who may feel unsafe. Whether that person is a Muslim or a female or a person with a disability, a person who is LGBT, a person of color, an immigrant, and not just stand with them, but will not stand idly by if they are bullied by another. And if you'd like to have one to wear, our deacons will have some at the back of the sanctuary. I bought 400 of them at Target yesterday. We're going to need to become even better bridge builders in the next 4 years.
Amen.
We're going to need to build bridges of understanding by listening deeply to those who may disagree with us and to do so with compassion. We will need to build bridges of cooperation with other congregations across the United Church of Christ and with other denominations to create new forces for advocacy. And we will need to reinforce the bridges that link us with the divine, listening deeply for the still speaking voice of God who calls us beyond our complacence into deeper ways of engagement. Part of the genius of church is this: we don't have to do any of this alone, because we have a built-in community of people, a community of people who understand that we can be co-creators with God, people who are willing to sacrifice their time, their money, and even their lives to stand for the justice that the prophets proclaimed. We know what it means to be called to act and to work hand in hand with each other and with God. And for us, as a congregation whose reason for being is our relationship with God, our genius goes beyond action as well. John O'Donohue, whose beautiful words grace our memorial garden, wrote as well, "The world is not decided by action alone. It is decided more by consciousness and spirit. They are the secret sources of all action and behavior." The spirit of a time is an incredibly subtle yet hugely powerful force. And it is comprised of the mentality and the spirit of all individuals together. Therefore, the way you look at things is not simply a private matter. Your outlook actually and concretely affects what is going on. When you give in to helplessness, you collude with despair and add to it. When you take back your power and choose to see possibilities for healing and transformation, your creativity awakens and flows to become an active force of renewal and encouragement in the world.
Amen.
And in this way, you can become a powerful agent of transformation. Plymouth, listen and hear God's call to action. May we together continue to become a force for healing and transformation in God's world and in our community and in our nation. May it be so. Amen.